Back here on Sports Nightly and the Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Kyle Crooks back with you, and we have plenty of sports to talk about. It's crazy. We're talking everything under the sun, and it's spring football time. We have football coming up this weekend. Spring practice starts on Saturday, and with that, we have the general manager of Nebraska football, and that is Pat Stewart, joins us now here on the show. Pat, this is first time in the new radio studio, right?
First time
right?
in here, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's the first time that we've had an opportunity to do a formal interview. You did some stuff on signing day, but now I've had a chance to take a deep breath. I remember walking around here in January and just, I'm like, what do you think's going through Coach Rule's mind at this time? What's going through Pat Stewart's mind, your staff? Can you, I guess, put a 30,000-foot view on just what that time, that short period of time was like for you on an everyday basis?
Yeah, it's controlled chaos. You know, everybody's dealing with the same situation. Everybody has to deal within the same rules, structure, lack thereof sometimes, of how those decisions are made and who's available. And it's constantly pivoting to the next guy on your list, trying to get guys in as fast as possible to maybe be the first in line to get them. But yeah, it was a very, hectic time. I think we ended up doing, you know, as well as we could, and as well as we tried to be. We'll continue to evaluate those processes moving forward. But I think for the first go around, it was a good deal.
Mm-hmm. When you go into it, is there a hierarchy of position groups that, hey, we want to deal with this first, or does the market dictate of, okay, let's get best available?
Yeah.
How does that work when that kind
of plays
out?
That's a good question. I think one thing we want to look at first is like, where are our needs, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, my background's in the NFL, so you always think about the draft versus free agency, right? You draft and develop players, and then you fill your needs in free agency where you have some gaps. So you first want to address the needs, and then as maybe something becomes available that you can find a difference maker, you want to go get that player as well. But I think the priority on it for us was going out and addressing needs first of all. And then from there, you know, players we could add to the depth, mm-hmm. and enhance the depth that we already have on our roster, we would try to pivot to those guys.
Quarterback position, we all know that was a massive need for this team heading into the portal period. You go out and get your guy and Anthony Calandria, and we touched on it a little bit with Coach Rule and how the whole process went, and you had a guy and then he eventually lands at another spot. And then what was it about when you get Anthony Calandria here on campus? What was that like? What was that period like to get him signed pretty quickly?
Yeah, it happened pretty fast, right? I mean, everybody kind of knows, you know, now the story. And I don't think that, in talking to some other people, I don't think that situation was unique to us, where you had a player kind of in the fold and then he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, we get the contracts out as fast as we can, and it's up to them to sign. And a couple days came and the contract wasn't signed. You kind of realize you might have to pivot. That ended up happening to us. We moved fast. Keith, Logan, the rest of the staff did a great job of having a list ready to go of who those next available guys were going to be. And we were really lucky to get Anthony in here as fast as we could. And I think as soon, you know, Coach Rule's talked about it, as soon as you meet him and you kind of feel the vibe and the juice from him, you know that that's going to be a guy that you at least want to explore even further, and had him here all day and kind of realized that was going to be the guy that we were going to go on.
What was the, you know, excitement level from, you know, when you guys have those conversations, Dana Holgorsen and Matt Rule, of his skill set and what that brings now to you guys? He's a true dual threat guy. He is a legitimate playmaker that can win you a lot of games. When you look at him, and what are some of the thoughts of what you're getting in a guy like Anthony
Calandria? Yeah, it's the skill set. It's the intangibles. It's the experience. He's got a lot of starting experience. So, you know, the first time that he gets hit, has to go back into the huddle and call a play, it's not the first time he's going to be doing that in a game situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something we were really attracted to. Obviously, the skill set kind of opens up a lot of different things. It makes the defenses have to prepare and hold them accountable and put them on the spot that, you know, this is a dual threat guy that can do a couple of different things when he has the ball in his hands. So, yeah, it's just something that adds to, you know, adds to the repertoire that we can use on game day.
When you go into spring and you bring in Danny Kalen, TJ Lateef is already here. Do you guys view this as a kind of a true competition when you head into spring ball with those three guys?
Yeah, I think all of our positions in the spring are going to be competitions, right? Like it's nothing's given, everything's earned. So it's guys have to come out there and prove themselves every day, and that's how we approach every position.
How about defensive line? When you look at needs of this team, how high up? I mean, you get two interior guys that feel like are going to make a big impact right away. Development of what you already have.
Right.
What's the confidence in that level, and just how hard did you guys go at that position in the portal?
Extremely hard, extremely aggressive. You know, it's one of those things where you're kind of at the mercy of what's available and how fast you can get guys in and who you can get in the quickest. And we were really lucky to get the guys that we did because the market was extremely high at that position. And, again, it's one of those things you have to pivot very fast once guys start coming off the board and trying to find the best complements to what you already have on the roster. And we feel that's what we found with Owen and with Jashir.
Yeah, and is that a position that's tough – financially, you might sometimes have to, because there's so many guys that are trying to get premier defensive linemen, right? Where you might have to throw a little bit more financially to secure a guy like on the defensive or offensive line in the trenches.
Sure. It's really that way at every position in this market. But the defensive line this year, especially, I just think it's football is a copycat world, right? So the teams that have success, you kind of see what they're doing, and that drives up the marketplace for that position. And that was something we saw with the defensive line this year.
Chatting with GM Pat Stewart, talking Nebraska football. Spring practice is starting this weekend on Saturday, talking all things transfer portal. First chance to chat with him after the craziness. When you look at the offense as a whole and the running back position for you guys, it seems like, and watching Mekhi Nelson all year, his temperament, what he did in the bowl game, Isaiah Mosey coming back, there's a lot of names in that running back room. It seems like you guys are really confident with that group that you have coming in.
Yeah, I would say it's the same level of confidence we had last year, right? Like this time of year, I just got here a year ago, probably in March. And I remember at that time there was a spring portal, and kind of a lot of the things I was hearing was running back, running back, running back. We kind of held tight and had a belief in what we had on our roster, and it's kind of the same situation right now. We're ready to go with any of those guys.
Is the evaluation that you have a true number one running back in that group, a 1A, guys that can, two guys, maybe three guys that could be a number one running back for you?
Like I said previously, like I think every position is a competition, right? So we'll find out during the spring who that one is, and hopefully we have a 1B, and hopefully we have a 1C, and those three guys can replicate great season EJ had.
Offensive line, I love what you guys brought in on the offensive line. Veteran guys who were starters at big-time schools, and you supplement with the guys that are already coming back. And we saw the emergence of Elijah, you know, at left tackle. Justin Evans had such a solid year. And then you bring in those three guys on the offensive line. What can you tell me about what sort of the evaluations went into that position?
Yeah, I think that's one thing we wanted to really enhance this year was just really the depth, right? So whether you were going to add guys who are going to be in the pipeline for the future, or whether you're going to add guys who had that starting experience that you talked about. That's something we really prioritized. We wanted to get guys who kind of fit our mentality, just big, strong, physical, you know, tough guys that, you know, we can rely on when it's third and one and we need to pick up a first down, protect the quarterback in passing situations. So those are guys that we targeted pretty early on, moved really quickly on, and we feel really good about.
What's Cheap Wade like to work with in those conversations?
Yeah, like all the coaches are great. Like, you know, guys like Jeep, you know, I don't know if we close on the guys that we closed on if Jeep wasn't working as hard as he did. And it was fun to work with him in this process.
Yeah.
And it's already starting to look that way in recruiting too. So.
And then, you know, wide receiver position, it's interesting. You know, you add a guy like Kwasi Gilmer from UCLA. We've seen a couple times, had a big game in this stadium 2 years ago. He's somebody who could certainly be a number one target. We know what you have coming back. And then there's guys like the Quinn Clarks, the Keelan Smiths. You know, I keep thinking, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of Jeremiah Jones, but man, that's a guy who factors in. Demetrius Bell, like there's a lot of guys in that room that can factor in. I feel like you didn't have to go as hard at that position because one, there's guys coming back that are proven guys, but there's so much depth there at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that was another one of our focuses too, right? Was retaining the guys that we already had on the roster. And, you know, I think Coach Rule said it like there is no tampering anymore. Like everybody's, you know, a target for somebody. Yeah. And we were pretty proactive in getting a lot of those guys back. And being able to add Kwasi to that group is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting big things from him and that whole room, to be honest with you. And DeKeel does a great job coaching him.
I think what's incredibly commendable from what the effort of what you guys put forth, and we like to think about what are the new shiny toys that are coming in. The retention that you guys had on this roster is pretty remarkable. When I think about it, from the wide receiver position, guys that we have no idea as fans and casual observers of who might have been close to going into the portal but never actually did, guys that were reported to go into the portal but eventually came back. What goes into that process of sitting down with guys and saying, hey, I know you want to see your options, but this can still be a good place for you?
Yeah, I think it's really a product of the system, right? Like where when the portal happens, a lot of these players will look at what their role was last season instead of what their role is going to be in mm-hmm. the future. And it's kind of laying that out to them and letting them know, like, you don't need to leave to get that chance. You know, make every opportunity you have here and you'll get everything you want. And that's kind of what we talk to guys about, and ultimately the decision's up to them and their representation, what they want to do. But fortunately, I think a lot of our guys who are here realize what we have going here. And, you don't need to go chase, fortune somewhere else where you can build it here. So that's kind of what I lay out to guys and the coaches when they talk to them, and kind of Coach Ulrich, when he got here, met with every defensive player and kind of laid out a vision for what they were going to be with this team. And I think we saw a lot of those guys come back that probably could have opportunities somewhere else, but they chose to stay here.
Yeah, one name that stands out to me is Willis McGahee and getting him back on this roster. We're chatting with GM Pat Stewart. Spring football starts this weekend on Saturday. You go and get Anthony Jones from UCLA. But in terms of, I guess, that hierarchy and list of positions of need, but trying to find a high-level pass rusher, I'm sure that's a hard guy to get on the market, right? It's a lot of cash that it takes to bring in a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a premium position, right? It's right up there. It's the quarterback version of the defense, right, where you're going to pay a premium to get pass rushers. So if you have some guys on your roster that you think you can get production out of, let's bring them back and see what we can do. And you're still always evaluating every market. There's just, we have really good resources, but there are times when you have to make decisions based on what mm-hmm. you have available and based on how many other needs you have to fill. We're hopeful that a lot of these guys can step up and become, pieces of that pass rush arsenal for us.
What were the conversations like with Coach Ulrich? I'm sure you worked with him closely to bring in guys defensively and bring in cornerstone pieces like, Owen Chambliss, one of the first guys that you sign, who has an understanding of what it takes in his system, McDougal as well, who comes over. Just how important was the constant conversation with him to say, okay, this is what I need for my defense, my system?
Yeah, I think the first time I talked to Rob, I was standing in my backyard, and we talked about some guys he already had, earmarked as potential, like guys who he knew were getting opportunities or looks elsewhere, and maybe they could be guys we would be interested in. And we have a team of remote scouts to kind of work through the season, watching potential portal players, so we're able to pivot as fast as possible, that we have some baseline work done on a lot of these guys. And Dwayne and Owen both were guys that we already had kind of mm-hmm. earmarked here, that we would have some level of interest if that became something we needed to explore at the linebacker safety position. And I think it's really important for us to have guys who have that familiarity in Rob's system, that they can come, kind of coaches on the field and kind of help teach the defense to the rest of the guys.
How much do you feel you improved to the second level of that defense? I think that's probably one of the strongest things that you guys upgraded in the portal was that linebacker position. The group of guys you brought in there, what's your level of confidence in that bunch?
Yeah, I'd say first, like bringing V9 back, super important for us, right? And Dawson Merritt got injured towards the end of last season, and that was something he had to work through. But just having the opportunity and really with Coach Ulrich being able to identify Owen and Dexter both as guys that we would potentially have interest in, and being able to bring them into the fold at that second level of the linebacker spot, like we were really excited to add those guys. And then in the safety room with Dwayne and Jason Shiggs and, mm-hmm. Kind of bringing some added pieces to what we already have on the roster. Yeah.
Those safety guys that you brought in, what kind of physicality do they bring with? What's kind of the prototype safety or secondary player that you want to bring into this program? What does that look like?
Guys who are interchangeable guys who can play post and play split safety, guys who are able to cover but also to help in run support. Like, those are guys that we're always going to have interest in, right? And the more you can do defensively from the safety position, the more versatile you can become in your scheme. So we're always looking to add, like, those chess pieces that can kind of do multiple things for us.
Mm-hmm. The newest signing class, the 26 class, I mean, it's hard to play as a true freshman at this level, especially when there's guys that are sticking around now because you're making money. How many of these true freshmen you think can make an instant impact on the field come September?
Yeah, hopefully more than, you know, more than a couple of them. We hope so, right? Like, because you bring guys in with a, you know, there's really not a lot of long-term vision with team building at the college level right now, just because guys can transfer whenever, right? So when you bring guys in, you kind of have to have a role identified for them. Like, what are they going to do for us right now, mm-hmm. right? What they can do for us in the future is great. And then if they develop and reach their full potential with us, that's what we're looking for. But we're really looking to bring guys in with that vision to add to us right now. And we think quite a few of these guys can do something for us. We'll see when the pads go on here in a couple of days if that's going to really come to fruition, and then during training camp and see if they take that next step and make themselves game ready. But yeah, I think when you make an investment in a player, you want a return on investment. Mm-hmm. So like all these guys are going to have every opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because you bring a guy in, and unfortunately with the climate we're in, you don't know if they're going to be here in 2 or 3 years, right?
Correct.
Because it's a year-to-year proposition with a lot of these guys. I think two guys specifically that I'm fascinated about in the outside looking in, Jamal Rule and Danny Odom. When I look at those two guys specifically, I know Jamal was here. He was with doing some bowl practices, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And Danny's here for the spring. I guess those two guys specifically, I feel like, to me, they really pop in this class.
We're really excited to have both of them, right? And they were guys that I remember watching them when I first got here last spring, and I've been telling some people, like, it's really not that hard to switch your eyes from watching pro tape to high school tape mm-hmm. when you have guys like that who pop off the film, and both those guys were guys who popped. So we're really excited to have them, and, you know, I don't want to go into too many names, but, like, there's quite a few other guys as well that were in that same boat where it's like you can kind of see it pretty quickly that they're going to be able to add something to the roster.
How did the your NFL experience help you with this? With just sort of the, I know we mentioned it a little bit off the top, but the craziness, there's a little bit more structure in the NFL than what you're dealing with now. So it's harder. This job's harder than kind of the experience you've had in the NFL.
I don't know if I'd quantify it as harder. It's just different, right? It is a faster paced. There's a lot of gray. You know, in the NFL, you have an established market where you can kind of structure where guys fall into that, where they're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. Here, there's a lot of things going on that you're told different things from different places, and you can't always, you know, verify what you're being told. It's just different. I wouldn't say it's harder. It's not, you know, it's just a very different process from what goes on in the NFL. There's a lot of similarities now, right? Like the valuation side of things, you kind of have to put the value on the player and kind of hold to it. And you really have to determine your walk away point. Like that's mm-hmm. really the biggest issue right now for, I think, any team is realizing, like, who do you break the bank for and who do you like pull back on and say, like, we can go find another player and fill that spot. We don't need to overextend ourselves that much.
Chatting with GM Pat Stewart during the year, a thing that Matt said when we were talking about TJ Lateef, about how you're very open, honest, communication was always there that, you know, there's a good chance we're going to bring somebody else in and have that competition. But having open communication as games are being played throughout the season, is that always happening in September, October? Like, hey, this is where I feel like we see you in the future, and this is with the financial piece of this. So not all these conversations are being had after the bowl game, right? They're all year long.
It really depends on how the player wants to handle it.
Okay.
I don't want to get involved with a player who's focused on the season, right? And I don't want to put anything in their head that might not be there in the future if something else happens. So we really, a lot of these guys, we started talking to immediately after the last game of the season. And we had talked internally about priorities and who we want to keep around and those sort of things. But a lot of the discussions with the players and their representatives, unless the representatives were proactive ahead of time and reached out to me, I would talk to a representative. But we really keep the players out of it until, you know, the end of the season.
Yeah. So for you, once the, and let me ask you this too, the one portal period in January, the system is what it is. You guys are going to do what you have to do to be successful in whatever the system is. Do you like the one portal period in January? Would you prefer to maybe see it in the spring? I know Coach Rule has said that. What's maybe when you guys collaborate and talk GMs around the conference, what do you think is the sweet spot there?
Yeah, evaluation? I think, you know, as anything is, you kind of do business as it's being done, right? Mm-hmm. So if the portal is going to be in the middle of the season, we'll adjust and do it then. But ideally, I think it's beneficial for the players, like we said previously, like for them to kind of recognize what their role is on the next team rather than what it was in the last team. And I think everybody having a better sense of like the lay of the land, you would probably see far fewer guys get into the portal mm-hmm. if they kind of knew what their spot was on their current team and you were able to start that team building process a little bit later on in the offseason.
How about helping some of the guys that you know might not necessarily have the role they want here? You know, I think of a guy like Kenneth Williams, such a great guy, right? And it's such a big piece, but you could tell he probably wanted more to be a running back somewhere else. But helping those guys along to find their next stop, like how important is that in your position to do right by the guys that have been here, but maybe the role's just not there?
Yeah, I think Coach Rule said before, like once there are guys, right? So they're always going to be Huskers. We always want the best for them. I think it's our responsibility to be honest with them and kind of let them know what the idea is for them the following season. And if they could get something more somewhere else, like help them. And you know, it's no different than being a reference on somebody's resume, right? Like anybody who ever called me about Kenneth or any of our guys, you know, they were going to get a good recommendation. Mm-hmm. I was honest, but it's easy to be honest about good people, and guys like Kenneth are easy to talk about, you know? Yeah. So those are always going to be guys that we help out and always look back fondly on their time here.
We do the 2-hour sports talk show every night, and we always talk about, oh, this is our storyline heading into spring. What are you most excited about in spring? I mean, you're probably going to say, I can't wait to watch everything, right?
But it's the truth, though. I mean, like we added guys at a lot of different spots. We have some freshmen in here that you want to see how they perform. Obviously, the quarterback position is going to be what everybody talks about and see how our running backs develop, see how the new offensive line works with Coach Wade and Coach Teasley. And just kind of go from there and kind of see how the team develops over the course of the next couple months.
What was the Danny Kalen situation of him coming back? How did that sort of originate?
Yeah, I think it was one of those things. He's kept in touch with a lot of guys on this team, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there was always some communication there, and he's local, and I think he always would like to be close to home no matter where you're from, right? So it was something when he became available, the conversations happened pretty quick and we were able to get something accomplished.
Yeah, I think that's a cool story to be able to get him back into the fold. You're excited, I'm sure, for an actual spring game this year?
I mean, like last year, you know, we had the Husker games were fun. Uh-huh. And we did have some scrimmaging at the end of that. But yeah, it'll be good to see these guys out there and in full go and get everything taken care of.
I'm sure you're excited to get back out there on the practice field and watch these guys. I know they've been getting their workouts in and getting ready for spring practice, but season will be here before you know it. And Pat, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
I know
no
problem. It was a crazy couple of weeks for you. And well, you know, we like to shorten it into a couple of weeks, but it's been a long evaluation period for a lot of these guys.
It's ongoing, and it's, you know, my job kind of evolves as the time of the year.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody, like I said, Keith Logan, those guys, Anthony Johnson, Taylor Richards, Kyle Fisher, Devin Hike, Matt Pierce. They do a great job in the evaluation process. Avery getting everything organized for us for the visits. Des Towie does a great job for us. So those guys do a lot of the work that help it come to fruition.
Yeah.
And the coaches as well. Like the coaches are super helpful in the evaluation process, because at the end of the day, like you don't want to give coaches somebody they don't want to play with, right? So there's a lot of feedback and a lot of opinions that go about this.
I can only imagine the opinions.
All the hot takes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Pat Stewart joining us in studio. Pat, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy some spring football. We'll see you out at the practice.
Thanks for having
me. All right, that is Nebraska football GM. That is Pat Stewart. Appreciate him joining us here on Sports Nightly. Back with more of the show right after this.